Hello, this is Steve Bailey, back from a short hiatus of only 5 months to bring you episode 68 of Hard Boiled Eggs and Nuts, a Laurel and Hardy podcast. All right, this is going to be very informal because I'm a bit rusty at this kind of thing, having taken a five-month leave of absence. And let me just start off with, first off, those of you who have enjoyed any or all of the previous 67 episodes, I thank you. I have come back to check on my podcast and noticed that to date, since it began last April, it has achieved a listening of 9,311 listens. And I also noticed that I stopped recording it in August. And after that, the listenership, or whatever you would call it, slowly started to decline through November of last year. And then for some strange reason, some happy strange reason, it has picked back up since then. And as of this date in January, I'm recording this on January 25 of 2019, it has achieved an average of 50 listens per month this month. So I'm very grateful to anybody who wants to listen to me spout off about Laurel and Hardy. If I had any reason to continue it other than the one that I'm doing tonight, I would continue recording this for the rest of eternity. But I don't, because I've said everything I can think of to say, except for my review of the new movie Stan and Ollie, which I will get to in a minute. So what I'm going to do is tell you my blog address. The reason I'm doing that is I have a blog related to movie and pop culture criticism and whatever else I have on my mind at the time. And I mention this because, among other things, I have reviews of the complete filmography of Laurel and Hardy as a team, as well as reviews of some of their biographies. Basically all the things that I have discussed already on this podcast. But if you're still interested in my opinions of Laurel and Hardy, I welcome you to visit my blog. The name of it is Movie Blog, all one word. And the URL for it, to find it on the internet, is moviemovieblogblog.wordpress.com. One more time, that is moviemovieblogblog.wordpress.com. And as I say, I've reviewed every single movie that Laurel and Hardy did as a team. I'm big on old-time classic comedy, so I also did the same thing for Chaplin and Keaton and the Marx Brothers. And I've also reviewed a few of the movies of W.C. Fields and the Three Stooges. And, oh, just countless other stuff that I could go on about for years. But basically what I'm saying is I have no reason to continue with this podcast forever. So if you really are interested in my movie opinions of old movies and more contemporary things, I welcome you to visit my blog and check it out. There is a search engine on the right-hand side, a little white box. All you got to do is type in the subject of what you're looking for. For example, if you type in Laurel and Hardy, you'll see every single listing ad nauseum that I have written about Laurel and Hardy for the blog, and you can pick and choose what you would like to read. Same thing with any other subjects. If you type in Charlie Chaplin or Buster Keaton, or maybe the name of your favorite movie to see if I've reviewed it, type it in that little white box and click enter, and it'll bring it all up for you. So that is my sharing of opinions. I don't say that in an egotistical way, although I am proud of the blog, but again, that is my way of continuing to share my movie and pop culture opinions with you, since I don't have an excuse with the podcast. So I welcome you to do that. Now, to get on with what you really wanted to hear, I've already had a couple of requests to hear my critique of the new movie Stan and Ollie, the new, I guess you would call it, docudrama or biofilm about Laurel and Hardy. And again, I'm flattered that this has happened, that people are actually that interested in my opinion, so I'll get right to it. Again, it's very informal, but I'm going to state it anyway. First off, the movie is beautiful. That's my opinion, and I'll tell you why it is my opinion, because some people might end up not agreeing. I have read one particular blog by a man named Mark Evanier. I like his blog very much. It is called newsfromme.com. News from M-E, like Mark Evanier, newsfromme.com. And he also is a fervent Laurel and Hardy fan. He reviewed the movie Stan and Ollie a few weeks ago, and he had the opinion that I was afraid that I was going to have it. He said that he loved the acting, but that it got so many of the facts screwed up that he couldn't enjoy the movie. And with trepidation, I entered the movie today. I've just come back from seeing it. And I was afraid I was going to have the same fears about it. Well, those fears are unfounded, at least for me. I can't speak for anybody else. You may end up going to it and thinking exactly like Mr. Evanier did. Oh, they did a nice job, but with the acting, but they fouled around so many of the facts that I can't enjoy it. Well, I don't care. And I don't mean that facetiously. I would care if they got it more accurately. That has been my one big complaint about any docudramas that they do about Laurel and Hardy or show business legends. They can't seem to get all the facts right. If you go back to things such as the British documentary Cuckoo or the British teleplay about called Stan, you can see the same thing. They are well-intentioned, but they always manage to fudge a few facts, and you always think, gee, I could have done better on the factual thing. I mean, all they have to do is ask an intermediate member of Sons of the Desert, and they'd be glad to correct those for you. Well, it may have been the same way here, because there were plenty of people out in California who know Laurel and Hardy history very well and would have been happy to be advisors on it. But apparently those people, if they asked them at all, they asked them only for a couple of days worth of advice and then went on and did their own little thing. Well, I'm sorry that they did that, because it does fudge facts. And I'm going to tell you right now what I have said before in the podcast. This is going to be a major spoiler alert. So if you're wanting to see the movie first, I'd say see the movie first and then come back and listen to my podcast. But I'm going to mention a few things that they did get wrong. They fudged up the facts about Zenobia, which, as you may or may not know, was the one movie that Oliver Hardy did under Hal Roach in the 1930s without Stan Laurel's involvement. And as Laurel and Hardy buffs know, that was because Stan was having a legal dispute with Hal Roach, and his contract with him had expired, whereas Oliver Hardy's contract still had another year to go. And so Hal Roach put him into this movie with Harry Langdon, and the movie made it sound as though Hardy did it in spite of against Stan's resentment of it. Well, that's not the truth if you know the facts. Stan knew perfectly well that Hardy was not at fault. And in fact, on the very first day of filming Zenobia, Stan sent him a telegram. Sent Ollie, I should say Babe. Let's call him Babe Hardy. Sent Babe a telegram wishing him well in the movie and so forth. So he certainly didn't hold any resentment. There were a few things like that all throughout the movie. They definitely took some liberties with the stage show that Laurel and Hardy did in Europe when they toured British music halls. That I can understand completely. I would have accepted that under any circumstances because it was probably easier to try to get people to relate to Laurel and Hardy based on their movie performances. And so rather than have Stan and Babe do the actual stage routines in the movie, or I should say as Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly playing Stan and Babe, they basically did a couple of scenes from Way Out West and County Hospital on stage. And as far as I know, that's not how it went at all. Stan wrote special stage material for their music hall tour. Those were the major things. Again, I could accept that part without, you know, if nothing else had been wrong about the movie, I would have accepted that. The Zenobia thing, a little more iffy. Also, the depiction of Stan's and Babe's wives may have been a little off. I couldn't vouch for it. Somebody like the late John McCabe probably could, because he knew them. But the history of their wives as personalities is not that well documented. So it could be that they were, as they were portrayed in the movie, initially antagonistic, and then come to be friends. It's my understanding that they were friends all along, but who knows? This is where you get into the cloudy territory. Years ago, there was a movie called Ed Wood, you may be familiar with. It was directed by Tim Burton, and it was intended as a biofilm tribute to Edward D. Wood Jr., the man who directed such famously bad movies as Plan 9 from Outer Space and Bride of the Monster. And it had a depiction in it of Bela Lugosi, which was true. Ed Wood befriended Bela Lugosi in the last years of his life and had him in his movies. But there was one scene where he was cursing like a sailor because somebody had mentioned Boris Karloff, and Lugosi didn't like him and cussed him out in front of this guy. Well, I remember after that movie came out, I read one account that said that was completely off. Lugosi was never like that. He was always a classy gentleman. He never swore. And then I saw another account that said, oh, Lugosi swore like a sailor. So who's to know? And that's the way I feel about the wives. It's possible that they were friends all along. It's possible that they started out frosty and then grew to be friends during the tour. The way it was depicted in the movie, to me, was realistic enough. Whether it was factual, I don't know. But the way that it was shown in the movie seemed plausible enough. And there, if you are any sort of Laurel and Hardy buff and you know the facts about this, this time in their lives, you know perfectly well that it didn't go 100% the way it did in the movie. But I may be copping out or rationalizing for it, but I enjoyed the movie so much that finally that did not bother me. Let's start with the acting. I'm going to say the same thing that 95% of all the viewers and reviewers have said. Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly in this movie are Laurel and Hardy. After a while, you watch them, and you just forget you're watching actors. I mean, I've read that they studied up on them, and their homework obviously paid off because they just did excellent, physical mannerisms, body language, voice mannerisms, whatever you call them. They really were, for the purpose of this movie, Laurel and Hardy, and did a beautiful job with them. I'd also like to credit the two women who did play their wives. Nina Arianda, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, played Ida, Stan's wife, and Shirley Henderson played Lucille, Babe's wife. And they both did a splendid job. Shirley Henderson, I couldn't vouch, again, this could be a voice thing. I didn't know them personally. I never saw interviews with them. So they may have overdone the voices a little. Nina as Ida, I got to admit, sounds a little bit like Natasha Fatale, the kind of Russian stereotype. Of course, Ida was Russian, but I don't know how thickly the Russian accent was accurate in this movie. And Shirley, as Lucille, Babe's wife, has a very high-pitched voice that is almost cartoonish. But again, their performances transcended any cartooniness or any stereotypes. I thought they did a fine job. Danny Houston as Hal Roach. The Hal Roach business was only about five or 10 minutes worth in the movie. And some people are complaining that was overdone because in the movie, Roach is very antagonistic towards Laurel. He may not have been antagonistic in the particular instance that the movie portrays, but from all that I have ever read, including Randy Skredvit's grand Laurel and Hardy biography, Roach and Laurel did not always get along famously because the way, and it was portrayed this way in the movie, Laurel wanted to be his own producer, and he knew that Hal Roach had him over a barrel because he was the money man. So as far as Hal Roach being antagonistic, I have no problem believing that whatsoever. Rufus Jones, who played Bernard Delphont. Again, another character I don't know the background of, other than I know that he was a bit of a moneymaker. I can't say that money was his only thing, but I do know for a fact that 25 years after he produced Laurel and Hardy's music hall tours, he initially intended to finance the movie Monty Python's Life of Brian, and the Monty Python group had gone so far as to get the movie set up and get ready to film, and then shortly before it was to start filming, Delphont pulled out the money because he suddenly decided that the script was too controversial. So, again, this is another instance where I have no problem believing that, he was a little bit more concerned with money than with artistry. Lastly, I don't know. Let's address one more thing. There was a gentleman in the movie named Nobby Cook. That was a character in the movie, played by John Henshaw in a brief role. The idea behind Nobby was that he was a British comedian, and at one point, according to the movie, Babe was in such ill spirits and also in physically doing poorly that he was going to retire and go back to America. And according to the movie, Delphont, before he even knew this, said, well, Babe is not very, he's not doing well, and he's not supposed to go on stage. Maybe we can get this British guy, Nobby Cook, to do his part on stage. I don't think that ever happened, but, well, it made for more drama, obviously. So that's all the nitpicking I've got for it. I understand that they didn't follow the facts 100%. And if it hadn't been for the actors and the feeling behind them, it might not have worked at all because of that. But they did such a good job of portraying the tight-knitness and the idea that, as Laurel says at one point in the movie, all we really had was each other. And that came across. Going back to Mark Evanier again, he said that he didn't feel Riley portrayed Hardy closely enough. He said that supposedly Hal Roach had said, Hardy makes everybody smile wherever he goes, and Riley didn't do that. I don't know. Everybody in the movie seemed to enjoy Hardy. There's one point where Hardy's out on the street and he's having a little fit about something. He made a bet, and then he looked in the sporting newspaper, and the bet didn't go like he wanted. So he crumbled up the newspaper in anger and threw it on the ground, and suddenly looked off in the distance and realized there were some kids looking at him and laughing at him. And so he went into his Ollie routine, twiddling his tie and saying, well, goodbye, kids, and walking off. So I don't know. There's going to be nitpickers all the way through this, you know, whoever, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like it. I thought I was going to be one of those people. I'm not. I would recommend it very highly. And the stuff that they did get right, they got right to a T. Here's one example, and it's probably a fictional example, but it fit perfectly. At one point, Laurel in the movie is trying to arrange for a Robin Hood comedy that he will write and have Laurel and Hardy star in. And he's trying to meet with this producer who keeps fending him off and doesn't really want to meet with him. So he finally goes to the producer's office, and there's this young woman there, this, you know, receptionist, who is completely unstarstruck by Laurel. She keeps calling him Mr. Lauren, and obviously has no idea who he is. And Laurel says, well, I've come to the office. Let me go ahead and sit here and wait for him so I can talk to him when he comes back. She said, well, he may be a while, sir. He's very, you know, pre-detained. And he said, that's okay. I'm here. I might as well wait. So he goes and sits off in the straight back chair that's facing the receptionist desk. And he gets the corner of her eye, sees her looking at him out of the corner of her eye, and he starts to pull his little Stanny routine. He takes his hat off and scritches his head. He blows his finger in his mouth and makes his hat go up. And they keep cutting back and forth between him doing his Stan routine and this girl who is looking at him like he's an absolute fool. Like, what is he trying to do? She's obviously not impressed with him at all. Well, that's my wife in a nutshell, let me tell you. I saw the movie tonight with my son. And as I've mentioned on the podcast before, my wife, God bless her, we're going to be married 30 years in March. Wonderful woman, but she just cannot abide by Laurel and Hardy. And when I saw this scene with the receptionist, I turned to my son and I said, that's your mother. Because that's just the way she'd act. If Laurel and Hardy themselves were right in front of them, she'd be so supremely unimpressed. And it's funny that there are people like that in the movie. The gist that they get, you know, unless the people in the movie are absolute fans of Laurel and Hardy, they have to deal with either people who are acting completely stupid towards them, or they're indifferent to them, as I say the reception is and as my wife would be. And also people who refer to them as, make references to their age. They say, oh, I thought you were retired, or, oh, I just love the way you keep doing the same material over and over all these years, and you still back it in. So I would imagine that all of that was fictionalized too, as far as I know. I don't imagine that somebody is walking around with a notepad writing all this stuff down, but it fit. It just seemed to fit. I can imagine Laurel and Hardy in real life going through this kind of stuff, because the accounts that you read of them, of course, are of them getting cheers and everybody loves them and so forth. And there was, I'm sure there was a lot of that. And I'm sure there was a lot of Stan and Babe having to deal with the stupid people in the world, just like there is with everybody. And one point I will agree with Mark Evanier is there's a famous scene in Cobh, Ireland. I hope I pronounced that right, too. It's C-O-B-H, where Laurel referenced this, and it's become Laurel and Hardy legend. They were on a boat sailing to Ireland to do their show, and the boat landed at Cobh, and there was a huge crowd there to cheer them on. And suddenly the church bells in the town started playing the Laurel and Hardy theme. And Stan said that at that point he looked at Babe and Babe looked at him and they both cried. That movie, or that point, was underrepresented in the movie. They showed the crowd cheering. They played the bells. But unfortunately in the movie, Stan and Babe just, they're happy, but they walk off the boat and just greet everybody. And it never occurred. That's the one emotional moment that they could have really rung in this movie that they sort of missed out on. Okay, so it's not a perfect movie. I'd give it a 3 out of 4, maybe 3.5 out of 4 if I'm generous, because the facts, you know. But you're never going to get, unless you have somebody who has followed these people around for years with a notepad to copy down every little thing, I don't think you're going to get everything correct. And that has been the point, as I say, that it has usually bothered me in documentaries and docudramas about them. This movie transcends all that. And I do believe, as many critics have pointed out, even if you're not a fan of Laurel and Hardy or not really familiar with their work, it works as a character study and it works as a drama. It shows how these two had to sort of fend for themselves against the world, just as Stan and Ollie did in fictional movies. They had to do it in real life when they went to this country where, you know, they were unfamiliar with customs and gestures and everything else. So I think I've covered about everything I can think of from the movie other than to say, go. If you're a Laurel and Hardy fan, intermediate or intense, go. If you want to see a good drama with some good bits of humor sprinkled out and nice characterizations, go. You know, if you're looking for, gosh, I don't know, again, a factual, 100% factual, maybe not. But I think it would do. It's hard to say, you know, Laurel and Hardy are both long gone. It's hard to say what they would think about. Laurel was a perfectionist, so yeah, he would probably have some quibbles with the stretching of facts in the movie. I don't know. Or he might appreciate it for the dramatic effect. As you probably know, there was a special done shortly after his death in 1965 called A Tribute to Stan Laurel. No, I'm sorry, it was called A Salute to Stan Laurel. And that was played on CBS, and it was intended as a tribute to him and ended up being a bunch of sketches by then-current comedy people that mostly had nothing to do with Laurel and Hardy. If I was to rate this sort of thing on a scale, I think I would put that special at a 1 or a 2 and put the movie Stan and Ollie at a 9. So that's how I would rate that. All right, I think I've spouted off long enough about this. Again, I wish I could think of any excuse to prolong this podcast. I prolonged it as much as I could for 67 episodes. Those are still listenable. If you are a first-time listener here, I encourage you to go back and listen to those. They are all available at this URL, anchor.fm/hardboiledeggsandnuts. Again, the URL for this podcast, it's available through other means also. It's available through iTunes and several other channels. But if you're going for the main source, it's anchor.fm/hardboiledeggsandnuts. And again, I recommend and invite you to visit Movie Movie Blog. If you have anything to say about this podcast or about any of the reviews there, there are means that you can leave a comment, and I will certainly jump on that because I love recognition. I'm a recognition fiend. So I have no problem with you. If you comment there, I'll be glad to write you back. I'm not going to bother with my email address because I tried that previously in the podcast and didn't get a whole lot of response. So if you have any interest at all, write to me there. Also, I should mention that this podcast also has a Facebook page that you are welcome to join. And that Facebook page is named Hard Boiled Eggs and Nuts. Hard-boiled eggs and ampersand nuts. No, I don't think it's an ampersand either. Just hard-boiled eggs and nuts. So anyway, that's the name of the Facebook page. Correlates to this podcast. By all means, please go ahead and join it. I don't think I'll be doing another episode, but I'll keep you posted on Laurel and Hardy-based things. Last but not least, I have another Facebook page devoted to what I used to have. I used to have a tent, which, as you may or may not know, tents are the chapters of Sons of the Desert, the International Laurel and Hardy Appreciation Society. I had a live tent, but it folded a few years ago because of low attendance, so now it's strictly on Facebook. So if you're interested in joining that, go to Facebook and look up Laurel and Hardy's Leave 'em. That's Leave .em, Leave 'em Laughing Tent. Laurel and Hardy's Leave 'em Laughing Tent, and that's the page on Facebook. All right, I think I have spouted off enough. I am so glad that people are listening. It's very flattering. I know that a small part of that's due to me, and a small part of it is you want to connect with people who are interested in Laurel and Hardy, and I'm fine with that also. Again, I could talk all day about them if I had any more to talk about. Anyway, follow one of those entries, and I'll be glad to chat with you. Please, I highly recommend that you go see Stan and Ollie. And I want to say lastly that it was in the period that it qualified for Oscar nominations, as I understand, because it did play for 5 days in L.A. at the end of the year, and there were absolutely no Oscar nominations for it. And so as far as I'm concerned, it was definitely robbed, at least where the leads are concerned. Again, Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly are marvelous in the title roles. And I got to give credit to the writer, Jeff Pope, and director, John S. Baird. Again, the writer took some liberties. I don't know, you know, if he did that intentionally or not in some cases, but overall did a good job. The direction is beautiful. You know, the actors all do wonderful things, and there's some nice photographic elements in the movie. There's nothing else to say. I really enjoyed it. So you asked for it. I spotted off. I hope you have been able to bear with me. Please do keep in touch if you're interested in just chatting about Laurel and Hardy. I've given you all the venues I can possibly give. So thank you very much for listening. Again, by all means, please see the movie. And until next time, whatever that may be, in the hereafter or later in the future or whatever. Anyway, it's Steve Bailey saying goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.